Thank y'all. Thank you, sister, for singing from the heart. John 16. How many of y'all are glad you're in the house of the Lord today? Amen. I really didn't even know if I'd make it today, so I'm glad you're here and I'm here, and I trust in the Lord somehow to help us. I don't know if it's a message. I ain't got a note one. I'm just going to give you all I can. I got plenty notes and outlines and things I jump up here with. But I just want to share this with you this morning. If the Lord will be our helper, and you may be here lost today and in need of the Lord, and you may not even know you was going to be in this service today. Here's what I know. There's a God in heaven knows everything about you. He knows where you are. He knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. He knows how far you've gone down. And I'm thankful today the eyes of the Lord are in every place. He knows where you are today, and you can be saved. You can be born again. Your life can be changed today if you just let the Lord have His way. And I believe that. There's a lot of things this morning. I need you to listen to me. There's a lot of things as I stand before you this morning I do not know. I have more questions than I've ever had in my life. But I know this. Jesus is a faithful Savior of sinners. He is. And I'm telling you, I'm a child of God. I am a called preacher. I dare say I'm a man of God. But you're looking at a man got a lot of questions this morning. There's one thing that I know. It is that the Lord Jesus Christ can and will save any sinner that have come to Him by faith. Amen. John 16, stand with me if you would. I'll read a few verses. And I'll not be long. If it's long, then amen, we may be in trouble. But I just want to share a few things with you. I seen something. This is not necessarily even what I'm preaching, but maybe I needed it more than anybody. John 16, listen to verse number 7. This is not what I'm preaching, but it's going to lead down to it. Jesus, speaking to the disciples, said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Jesus said, "I'm telling you the truth." Now, to appreciate that statement, think about it. He's talking to men that he just said. He said, "I understand that what I've told you and what has come and what is coming into your life has overwhelmed your heart with sorrow. You are filled with all sorts of emotions and feelings, and your feelings are telling you something." Jesus said, right in the middle of acknowledging that, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." I'm telling you, we're living in a day where people's feelings are telling them a whole lot of things. And people's broken hearts are discouraging them and disappointing them and leading them to despondency. And the world, you take the world, and we're going to bust the world wide open this morning, but you take all the voices that are in the world today that are lying voices, they are lying whispers that speak into the church and maybe tell us we're never going to make it, we're losing too much ground, that there's no way we can overcome in the midst of all of this. And right in the middle of that, Brother Mike, I read it this morning. It just jumped off the page. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." In the midst of a bunch of voices, whether they're internal or external, I'm glad there is a voice that comes from heaven today that says, "I'm going to be the one who tells you the truth." Amen. We might ought to preach that a little while. The Bible said, "It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he has come, this is what I'm interested in this morning. And when he has come, this Comforter, this one that is known as the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus said of the Spirit of God, of his own departure back into heaven, he speaks of the Spirit of God as one that he was going to send. That when he would come, and by the way, he has. Amen. 2,000 years ago, after the ascension of our Savior into heaven, we understand that the Father and the Son sent the Spirit of God in the ministry that is still active in present day, that in that ministry he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And I want to preach this morning just simply on, I don't know if it's preaching or what it is, throwing out a lifeline. Amen. I'm interested in that word reprove. You know this. This is simple, but it just simply means to convince. Jesus said the Spirit of God is going to be sent to convince the world, to teach the world, to bring the world to a light of understanding of these particular three areas. The word reprove would also not only deal with convincing, but conviction or convicting, that not only shining the light, but making application of that sinner's heart to the heart of the world, and they would know the reality of these things, not just be convinced up here, but to be pricked and convicted in their heart that the Spirit of God could do that work in them of the new birth, that regenerative work that only the Spirit of God can do in salvation. And so I want to preach this morning, or whatever you want to call it, On this thought, are you convinced? Amen. Have you been convinced? And I'll make some truths here. We'll let the Lord, I ain't got no alliterated outline, I'll use Jesus' outline. That'd be all right. Amen. Here's the 3 points: sin, righteousness, and judgment. Are you convinced today? Are you convinced? Have you been convicted to the point that you have humbled down and let the Spirit of God do his saving work in your life? You can be seated this morning. Reprove the world. We understand this morning that when it comes to this thing of being convinced, and particularly in the world in which we're living in this very day, that there's very little things that men know for certainty in this hour. There are all kinds of things that men believe, all kinds of things in various and opposing faults that the world claims to have been convinced of in this hour. And we could deal with some of those things. We understand the world today. It is the system of the world that is steeped in sin, that even the Word of God said that all the world lieth in wickedness. And in the world today, there is tribulation. In the world today, there's all sorts of departure from God, all sorts of ideas about God and ideas about eternity, ideas about spirituality that and the world today is not convinced of the Word of God and of spiritual truth today. Is absolutely seen in the confusion that abounds in the world. The world today is not convinced, they're confused. They're confused about their sexuality. They're confused about their spirituality. They're confused today about government and about the family and about all matters of things. There are confusions that abound. And we understand that the world is like scattered sheep, not having a shepherd, no leader, no Lord, not looking to their Creator. The world today, lying in wickedness, has departed from God. And yet we think about the world this morning, and I guess the verse that the world would even claim to know. They don't understand it, they don't grasp it, but they throw it up on signs and they wear it on t-shirts. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That is the baddest shape and confused in the world is in. Departed as the world is even from their Creator today, that our God loves the world and proved His love and passion for the world and all its wickedness by sending His only begotten Son in the world. And the verse says, and whosoever would believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the world today is perishing, and the world today is dying in their confusion and headed to a devil's hell because of the confusion and their resistance to the work and the Spirit of God and the message in the church that the gospel can save them. They refuse to be convinced of God and a way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so they go on in their confusion, perishing. All the while our God loves them there. Amen. Their Creator loves them and made a way that men do not have to die. And men don't have to die in judgment. And men don't have to spend an eternity in hell. That the world can be saved if they just be convinced of who Jesus is. Amen. And until you're convinced, amen, of the Spirit of God, you'll never be saved. Until you allow the Spirit of the Lord to convince you of these things and by which He has been sent. You see, the church preaches on sin and righteousness and judgment, and that's our goal, and that's even our message this morning. But some of you, you'll not be convinced because all you hear is the voice of a man. And all you hear is your mom and daddy browbeating you. Amen, in your upbringing. And mom and daddy weren't the ones that you needed to be convinced by. And a preacher ain't the one you needed to be convinced by. And the one you really needed to believe was not even necessarily other believers and children of God. But to be convinced by the Holy Ghost is essential for a life to be changed. Amen. Believe that this morning. There are many that are in sin and still a part of the world. Listen, we that are saved, amen, this matter, the Spirit of God reproving the world. We once was of the world. We were of its system. We thought and were as confused as the world is today. But now, by the work and the Spirit of God, having listened to more than a mom and daddy, having listened more to some loud mouth preacher, my friend, we heard the voice in the Spirit of God as He made application of those truths in our life of what we really, truly needed to hear and be convinced of. And so it went beyond the mere words of a mortal man and was rooted in the work of a sovereign God. A man that wanted to save me, that and did not want me to perish, and did not want me going on in unbelief, and did not want me living my life in sin. A man that would lead to an eternity of judgment. And when I allowed Him to move and work and speak and began to convince me, you know what, my friend, that made all the difference in the world of changing my life. What daddy could not beat in me, and what mama could not, amen, sit down and scold into me. I'm telling you, there's a divine work of Almighty God.
amen, in the Holy Ghost convincing me, amen, and me allowing Him to convince me, and submitting myself to these matters that Jesus said, this is why He's going to be sent into the world. Amen. In this hour, the very things that Jesus said the Spirit of God would be sent in the world to reprove, to convince Him of, are the very things the world wants nothing to do with even talking about and listening to today. If you want to talk about, and we've seen this, and this is important, and it's in order, and we've been a part of it. You want to talk with them about relief and aid in times of disaster? They'll sit and they'll talk and they'll plan and they'll scheme and they'll even jump in and get involved. If you want to talk to them about social programs that maybe will help society and reforms that maybe need to take place in our country and in our system, my friend, they'll talk to you about that. But ain't it amazing, the minute you want to talk to them and begin to talk to the world about sin and about righteousness and about judgment, now all of a sudden you're a hate monger. Now all of a sudden, even in the realms of some religious organizations, you get termed with being a Pharisee or a legalist because you want to talk about such awful things as sin and righteousness and judgment. That's the world we're living in, friend. And it's always been that way. The world has no interest in hearing messages about sin and about righteousness and about judgment. And yet, the Jesus that they claim to know and the Savior that they want to throw in our face as being this wimpish little love fest of a kind of a God. Amen, this kumbaya, amen, going to accept everybody as the one and said, I am sending the Spirit of God, and He's not coming to give you goosebumps. He's not coming, amen, to walk you through flowery fields and make you feel good about yourself. He is coming that He might convince you of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. That, listen, I understand that gets me labeled as a hellfire and damnation preacher. I don't care how you label me. I don't care what you say. I talked to a preacher on Friday night and was talking about things. And I said, this is how I've always been. And by the help and the grace of God, it's how I'll always be. Amen. Why? Because it's in the Word of God. Amen. You say, well, if preachers can't convince and parents can't convince, then really, let's be honest about it, only the Spirit of God can do this convincing. I had a preaching daddy. I had a mama that, listen, did not give me the option of whether or not I was going to go to church. We was going to church. And I was brought up around the church and around the Bible and around godliness and worship and old time religion. Amen. Do you know there were times in my lost condition, I didn't understand none of that. Amen. Daddy couldn't preach it into me. My preaching granddaddy couldn't preach it into me. I mean, I have one of them old-fashioned daddies that believe, amen, if you done wrong and you got out of line, there was a biblical source of correction for that to straighten you out. Amen, my daddy didn't give spankings, he gave whoopings. You say, I don't even know the difference, and you never had a whooping. And that's probably why you're in the shape you're in. Amen. And that's how I was brought up. But you know what? None of them whoopings ever convinced me. I'm not saying they weren't important at 45. I'm thankful for every one of God. And some of the ones I didn't deserve, there's some things I probably got by with. So it all balances out in the end. Them whoopings didn't convince me. Amen. All those... all those being drugged to church when I was puking my guts up. Growing up, just you're going to church. This is the way that it is. And there's a lot of things in all of that that just drug me down and left questions in my mind. And mom and daddy were trying to convince, as I've done with my children, that. And by the way, just like you ought to do with yours. I'm not preaching against those things. But I want to bring us to the point of understanding. You can have all of those things, but it's going to take the Spirit of God doing His convincing work in your life. Jesus said this in John 3. He said, this is condemnation, that light has come into the world. Speaking of Himself, the light has come into the world. Jesus said, in that light coming in the world, at that light shining out across the masses of humanity, at light shining in every corner of the world, that my friend, that light hits across your brow and across your heart, and all of a sudden Jesus stops in the middle of all of that, and here's what he said, men are not going to come to the light because they're not going to love the light because their deeds are evil, neither cometh they to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. Jesus said that, listen, if you die and go to hell, if you leave this service today lost and in your sin, and you bust hell wide open and spend an eternity in the lake of fire, it won't be God's fault. God, through His Spirit, calls to every man. See, you preach things like, amen, salvation's of the Lord, and the Spirit of God has to convince, and then they want to start labeling you and putting you in a box. Amen, but I'm telling you, I got out of that game a long time ago. I'm telling you, amen, the Spirit of God is everywhere working in the hearts of all men trying to bring you to the light. And why do men go on in their sin? Why do men and women, when they get older, buck up against mom and daddy and against what the Bible said and go do their own thing? I'll tell you what, they're resisting the convincing work of the Holy Ghost in their life. It's exactly right, friend, and you wind up in a mess. Hey man, you buck and kick against the pricks. That's what the Lord meant. And He met Saul on that road to Damascus and confronted him. He said, it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. You know what the Lord is saying? He's saying the Spirit of God's working in you. You've been consenting unto even the death of Stephen. You watched a real, true, blue child of God die with a witness and die with a testimony and die with the Holy Ghost on his life. Saul somehow holding the coats and those men and had stoned that saint of God. Amen. Oh, he'd give them their coats back and it would shake the dust off our hands. Let's go back to the house. We have done our religious deeds and silence another one of those Christians. But when Saul pillowed his head that first night, I think the Holy Ghost come by. Amen, and began to reprove him of what he had been a part of. I think there's conviction on him. Are y'all listening? Amen, I'm telling you, Brother Larry, I think the Holy Ghost, amen, sat down and he began to prod him and prick him and try to get him out of that dead religion that he was holding on to. So I don't like this. I didn't come to hear it. Well, you hear, so you're going to get all you can right now. I'm telling you, this world's dying and going to hell by the bushel fulls. Amen. And it's time. Amen. It's time, people, be warned. We're running out of time. We're running out of time. You're running out of time to get right with God. Amen. Today's the day of salvation. Today is the day in which the Spirit of God is working. You don't know you'll be borrowing God's air tomorrow to breathe. You don't know that you'll have the life, amen, by which all men live, even physically. On tomorrow, God could send death your way and snuff you out of this world. The day's coming. This world, they don't like this preaching, because it's through this preaching, sister. It's through this preaching, this. Mom and daddy ain't your problem. You're fighting against the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that thing you want gone, that conviction, that reproof, that ministry of trying to bring you to the light to convince you. One of these days, he's going to step out the way. One of these days, is it 2 Thessalonians 2, Brother Larry? It says in the ministry of the Spirit of God, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, I've heard that preach, and I'm not going to argue this morning. I promise you, I ain't a fussing with nobody. If you don't agree with this, don't even come to me about it. I'm not fussing today. Amen. Now, I may fight. We may fight. I know I'm not supposed to be a brawler. I ain't got no patience to fuss. But, amen, I'm about half-cocked to fight and bust something. And I ain't even a brawler, and you probably whip me, all right? But I ain't fighting about this. I've heard them say all my life, the Spirit of God's going to be taken out of the world. That ain't what that verse said. It's not what the verse said. The Bible said, until he be taken out of the way. You want your sin? You want it without any restriction? You want all this world has with no barriers and boundaries and guardrails? And that Spirit of God stands today trying to reprove you and convince you that that's not what you need. That's not what's best for your life. And he's trying to lead you to the way that is in Jesus Christ. There's a day coming the church is going to be raptured out, and that tribulation time is going to dawn upon humanity and upon the world. And the Spirit of God is just going to step out of the way and say, you want it, go get all you want, I'm done. Amen. I'm about to get Dr. Brother Thorns and him. I don't even know each other. He'll be saying, man, that man, he's messed up. Maybe I am. The Holy Ghost has been on earth since Genesis 1.
Amen.
Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. He moved on the face of the waters. He's been here the whole time. Jesus sent him with a particular ministry in mind. To indwell the child of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. He sent him with a mission in mind of the gospel message being preached. And my friend, he would reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Are you convinced? Have you been convinced? We're living in a sick generation. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They've gone after every cult. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine that people reject the simple gospel message that all men are sinners? Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God and the only way of salvation. And if you don't get saved by him and him alone from your sin, there is a judgment that is coming on your life. They'll refuse that, and they'll believe in aliens and people on Mars. You are stupid, friend. They'll reject everything that Bible says that is so clear that God has given to believe in. Comets.
Absolutely.
Amen. Follow after Joseph Smith. Follow after, and these mountains are full of men and organizations that come in to deceive the hearts of men and women away.
Yes, sir.
Get them steeped into Scientology and higher thinking and spiritualism. Brother Mark, the sad thing is, I feel like the Lord's let me preach today. I didn't even want to preach. Can I be honest? I didn't even want to come today. I didn't know if I was going to come. And I'm here.
Thank God.
It's the first time, amen, and it ain't got nothing to do with none of y'all. Amen. I just didn't know if I wanted to come to church. Have you ever felt like that?
Oh, yes.
Y'all don't look at me like that. Some of y'all have felt like that, and some of y'all didn't show up. So don't look at me like that, Charlie. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you, Brother May, the sad thing is there are people that will say, no, I'll not believe that. I'll not be convinced of the Holy Ghost. I'll not let the light reprove me of my deeds. I'll not. And then they go out. Here's how messed up people are. They'll go out and they'll embrace doctrines that say men can become women. Are you kidding me? Have you lost your ever-loving mind? Why is it? I'm going to tell you why. They don't want to hear nothing about sin, about righteousness, and about judgment. Oh, your blood's boiling. You'd cut my throat if you could get away with it. I'm telling you this morning, hey man, you cut my throat out. Harry said, I don't want to hear nothing about that. And that old hussy his is sleeping around with, hey man, said, I'll have his head on a charger. And she did, by the way. She cut off the voice, amen, that the Spirit of God was able to use in Herod's life and woman's life. Amen. Oh, listen, the Holy Ghost was using John the Baptist, and they cut his head off thinking he's our problem. But I'm going to tell you what happened. Amen, and I know this for a fact by studying history. I tell you that first night after John the Baptist's head had been cut off and delivered on a silver platter, on a silver charger, and they all danced and they all laughed and they all mocked and sneered, ha, ha, ha. We got that old fundamentalist preacher. We got him. Now we don't have to hear more about our adultery and our sin and our drunkenness and our perversion. We don't have to hear any more about any of that. Oh, my friend, I'm telling you, and when all the lights went out and the party was over and Herod crawled up in the bed with that old lizard again, by the time they began to engage in their illicit affair, I promise you there was the work of the Holy Ghost. It said, it is not lawful for thee to have thy brother Philip's wife. See, the preacher ain't your problem. And your parents ain't your problem. And the church ain't your problem. And you can shut us down. You may kill me. Amen. You may kill me this morning, but I'm telling you, and you pillow your head, there'll still be a Holy Ghost. There'll still be a God that loves you enough and sent the Spirit of God and try to lead you to the Savior and lead you a glorious eternity with Him. That's exactly right. So I don't like it. I ain't coming back. Well, amen, I'm going to send you flyers and come visit and drag you back because I love you. Y'all hear how quiet it is? I know it's in our church. I know it's in here. And I'm telling you, you're getting caught up in what Paul said, just talking about things that gender strife. It's about time we get back the book. Let the book be what we get focused on. Ain't no wonder we can't get more sinners saved around here. Oh, ain't you having a time, preacher? I told you I was going to be short, and I told you if I got long, it'd be a mess. Here it is. Have you been convinced of what that book says about eternity?
Hallelujah.
Are you willing as a child of God to be a part of the... Listen, here's what. Preacher, I thought about it this morning. When the book closes out, when the Word of God is coming to an end, here's what God said. The Spirit and the Bride. The Spirit and the Bride. See, we get part in this ministry. We can in ourselves convince nobody. But if we'll get hooked up full of the Holy Ghost, You know what the Spirit of God does? He's able to use our life to be a part of saying, come. Come! Be a part of convincing men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. I'm telling you today, this world needs that message more than anything. They need it more than anything. It's not the government that's their problem. It's not the National Health Organization. That's our problem. We got bigger sicknesses than what they can ever touch. It's going to take the Holy Ghost, amen, convincing men of their sin. Oh, that's right. See, when the Spirit of God convinces you, He convinces you of the nature of sin that's in you. You'll get like David and say, in sin did my mother conceive me. Amen. This Yahoo, amen, used to be a member of our church. Run around now, he denies the nature of sin from birth. Let me tell you, and he said, well, that just means that David's mama conceived him in adultery. Show me that in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. Tell you exactly what David's confessing. He's not making an excuse, but he's making an admission that I have a bigger problem with sin than what I can deal with in and of myself. I've got something that's been in me from my conception. See, everybody say, I ain't as bad as nobody else. You was conceived just the same and just as bad as anybody else. The Spirit of God wants to convince you today, oh, I got to quit. I can't find a place to stop. I'm telling you, Brother Larry, this world has got to be convinced of that nature of sin that's in them. Amen. Well, I'm not like so-and-so. That ain't what the Spirit of God comes to convince sinners of. When the Holy Ghost, listen, when the Spirit of God comes to you and you're actually convinced of sin, here's in that convention, here's what you say. I'm the chiefest of sinners. When you're convinced, you don't run around going, at least I ain't as bad as old Isaac over there. I mean, he steals and he kills and he lies and he cons and he's practically on the road to prison. He's not, but y'all understand. People measure themselves. When the Spirit of God gets done convincing you of sin, you'll say, oh, I'm the worst as ever been. And it don't matter if you grew up in a church pew or you grew up on the other side of the tracks, never hearing the name of Jesus. You'll say, it's as though I'm the worst as ever. Bible said, here's what the Spirit of God will convince you of about sin. There, that for all, capital A-L-L, amen, all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Oh, you'll quit this. Well, you know, me and God have an understanding, and I had an experience one day. Oh, no, friend, if you have not ever come to the place where you was, my friend, injected into the all and convinced that you was a part of the all, and that man ever less loving one of us, including me, including you, that even I am a sinner, then you've never been convinced. You're still trying to work it out. You've never been convinced. How we doing? Convince, reprove the world. Convince the world of sin. Convince the world. Are you convinced about sin? Has he convinced you about sin? Are you convinced about righteousness? By the way, when he said sin, he explains it. He said, because they believe not on me. In other words, men go on in sin so long as they live their life in unbelief. The day I turned to the Lord and believed on Him was the day my life changed. Amen. Brother Billy Mitchell, I love this statement. It's one of my favorite statements I've ever heard any preacher say. He said, getting saved won't make you sinless, but it'll make you sin less. Somebody take a lap around the building. See, you ever get convinced about sin and how awful it is and what a big of a problem it is in your life and in your nature and what it's doing to you? I hate sin today more today than I hated it yesterday. Sin's awful. Sin will lead you down a road where there is no ending point. It's a bottomless pit. And my friend leads to some of the depths of perversion. And my friend, oh, that men would be convinced about sin. That road of sin you're on, it has no detours. There are no exit ramps. There are no shortcuts. It's just one long bottomless pit that there is no end of. If you don't ever get convinced about sin, amen, and in getting convinced about it, turn and believe on Jesus. You'll stay in your sin. There's no telling how far you'll go into sin. Ain't no telling where I'd be. Did you not testify that today? I don't know where I'd be. I don't know what I'd be had it not been for the Lord coming into my life.
Amen.
Some of y'all, you look real nice and proper today. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Oh, I mean, boy, you look smooth. Wonder what you'd look like. Wonder what you'd look like this morning had you not let the Spirit of the Lord do His reproving work, bring you to salvation. Amen. Probably wouldn't look as good as you do today. Doubt you'd be sitting here today. Are you convinced? Are you convinced? Have you been convinced of sin? Here's what he said of righteousness. I'm done. I'm done. I'll preach this again sometime. It's gone so good. If the Lord will help me, I'll preach it word for word, verbatim, all over. You say, I ain't coming back. Well, I ain't announcing when I'm doing it. I'll sneak up on you. Righteousness. Jesus said, He's got to be the one that convinces you. He is the only one who can convince you of righteousness. Here's what Jesus said, because I go unto my Father. Here's what you got to understand that Christ is speaking about, that He is, listen, He said of Himself, I've not come to destroy the law, I've come to fulfill the law. He is the fulfillment of God's righteousness on earth. He was born pure. He was circumcised the eighth day according to the law. He fulfilled every jot, every tittle, every manner of the law of God. Not the traditions of men that had been added to the law, but everything God said, Jesus righteously fulfilled. And so now He that was righteous at Calvary was there in that transaction, made sin at you and I who were sinners and ungodly and wicked, through faith in Him could be saved and made righteous in Him. Are you listening? It takes the Spirit of God reproving a sinner. Here's what you got to understand, that Jesus Christ is the only way. It ain't in doing a little better than you used to do. It ain't in coming to church every now and again. Are y'all listening? It ain't in baptism. It ain't in wafers. It ain't in reforming. It ain't in all these things that people want to hold on to as though God has made some special provision for them. There ain't but one way to righteousness, and that is, the Word of God said, there is none righteous. No, not one. The only one that's ever lived up to the righteousness that God demanded is Jesus Christ. And because I don't have any in and of myself, I must believe on He who is righteous. I must believe in Him. I must believe on Him. I must come to Him as He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it took the Spirit of God leading me to that. I have more than Mom and Daddy's religion. I have more than Papa and Grandma's religion. It took the Spirit of God to bring me into a personal relationship with the Savior who is my righteousness. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, it is this one who is righteous and the fulfillment of righteousness that the Word of God said to the child of God, He is our righteousness. How do you dare claim to be saved today, preacher? Because I know in whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able, I am not able, but He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Sin, righteousness, number three, judgment. Boy, you want to get the world mad, tell them there's a hell for every sinner. Tell them hell hath enlarged herself every day because of the amount of men and women and young people who would not be convinced, died in their sin. God let hell be expanded to fit their rebellious soul, stack it in there one on top of another. Oh, they'll get mad. Oh, they'll get mad. Amen. They got no problem promoting perversions, letting men kissing on men in public. Oh, all that's fine. All that's fine to look at and talk about and promote. And hey, just be a part of what we're doing. The minute you say, there's a hell for people who do that. It's judgment. There's an accounting day. Sister Marsha, all of a sudden then, you're a hate monger. Tell me there's no hell. God loves everybody. God would never send anybody to hell. You read your Bible. Where'd you get that from?
Amen.
Well, I heard a guy on the internet. That's half this world's problem.
Yeah. Right.
Would to God Google and the internet and Facebook and the rest of this trash would drop off in the lake of fire right now. We'd be better off for it. I heard a preacher say one time, and you know, he looked pretty cool and he sounded pretty cool and he... You know, he just had good vibes. He didn't preach like you do. Yeah. And that man don't love souls. They ask Osteen, is there such a place as hell? Well, you know, I just can't say for sure, and I just let everybody try to figure that out on their own. What a weasel. If he's ever read his Bible, he knows that Bible says there's a hell. Amen. It's a place God don't want sinners to go. We said, don't preach on it. Be more like Jesus. You couldn't handle it if I preached more like Jesus. You couldn't handle it. You wouldn't be able to stand it if I preached more like Jesus than I'm trying to do now. I'm trying to preach like Jesus. If I did any more of it, you'd hate me and you'd crucify me. Everybody acts like Jesus just walked around. Oh, I love you. I love you. Let me hold your babies. Oh, and just walk around. Be more like Jesus, they say. You do understand they killed him. They killed him. He was so dogmatic they could not stand it. He said, nail him to a cross. We'll take the criminal and set him free. We understand he's been judged and he's done nothing. He's done nothing amiss. He ain't stole from us. He hasn't run off with our wives and our children. We understand this man has done nothing amiss. We just can't handle how he preaches to us. Let the guilty go and let the Savior die. So what I'm preaching today is exactly in line with the ministry of Jesus Christ. Preach, you look at it, study it. I'll hold your hand and walk you through it. Preach twice as much on hell as he ever did heaven. Said more about hell than he did any other subject. Because men need to be convinced there's a judgment that is to come. Amen. Preacher, does God really send people to hell? Let me tell you something, friend. If you don't get saved, you will be thrown into a place called hell. And you'll stay there until the great white throne day of judgment upon which every sinner will be called to give an account of their life before God, and you will be judged according to your life and according to your name being in the Lamb's Book of Life. And whoever is not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will be bound hand and foot and cast into a lake of fire and brimstone that John said burns forever and forever and forever.
Amen.
Have you been convinced of that? I remember the day, listen, I grew up around this kind of preaching. I grew up around this kind of singing. I grew up around the amens, the hallelujahs, the waving of hands. I've heard it all my life. Amen. Why do y'all look like it's 2 o'clock? It ain't but 12. I'll never forget the day. Y'all have heard me tell it if you've ever been here before. I walked in the basement, the First Baptist Church in Garden City, Michigan. Daddy had moved us up there. I hated Michigan. I hate Michigan to this day. I got to go up there and preach revival tomorrow. And I'm going to go to the land that I hate and preach. Tell them there's a hell you got to get saved from. Walked down in that basement. And I went because Miss Kate invited me to come just to a youth meeting. We're having youth meeting. You want to come? I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, there's going to be some preaching. We'll have a service. But then we're going to go eat pizza and play ball. And I thought, I'll play ball. I eat pizza. I'm liking this girl. I think I'm in love. I can go to a youth service. Walk down in there. Mike walked down in that basement and sat down. Brother Jason Kendrick stood up and said, I want to preach to y'all from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He read the text, verse 13 through 18. I know that now because I've studied my Bible and I'm thinking on it. He said, I want to preach about the second coming of Jesus Christ, the rapture of the church. But I want to preach to you young people on will he be telling you hello or goodbye. All of a sudden, that moment, all the messages I had ever heard, all the things that Daddy had tried to convince me of and other preachers had preached to me, that moment of time, I'm talking about faster than I can snap my fingers. The Holy Ghost said, you know he'll be telling you bye. You know you're not saved. You know you're not ready to meet God. The first time in my life, started to be convinced. It didn't matter who my daddy and my mama was. It didn't matter the plans I had made. It didn't matter all the things that I thought about anything. I was a sinner. Jesus was the Savior. And except I repent and believe on Him,
There was a judgment day for my life. Believe, Brother Thornsley, I could have got saved that night. I tried to shove it off. I tried to eat it away with pizza. I tried to play it away with ball. Something happened. Something happened when I crawled up in the bed, tried to go to sleep. Holy Ghost said, we'll be telling you hello, goodbye. You know you're not saved. You know you're playing games. You know you're trying to work out a deal with God that is apart from bowing your knee, calling on Jesus, and tell Him you're a sinner, that you are trusting Him and Him alone for salvation. Ah! Shake it off, and I'd roll, and I'd get so tired, I'd just nearly just, for lack of a better explanation, I'd pass out to go to sleep. A little after 4 o'clock that next morning, I woke up out of sleep and the Holy Ghost saying, you know He'd be telling you bye. You know you're playing games. You know that you're trying to work out something with God that's outside of what the gospel says, that you must believe and repent of your sins, and that it's Jesus and Jesus alone, and that you're trusting in your own goodness. I could have got saved 4 o'clock that morning. I wish I would have. Shoved it off again. For 2 weeks, that pattern just went on. I'd go to school. We'd have ball practice. I'd do okay long as I could occupy my mind and my body doing something. But when I had to be alone and it was just me and the Holy Ghost, He'd come by convincing and reproving and shining the light. This ain't got to be your testimony. Some of y'all, you got saved the first time you heard it. Wonderful. I'm talking about me. It ain't got to be like this for you today. I'm just telling you, over 2 weeks, Spirit of God kept coming, kept reproving. Never, ever, not one morning did He ever change the message. It was always in line with that book. It was always in line with what work He had been doing in my life for 2 weeks. September the 14th, 1996. Praise God. I don't know a lot of things today. I've got more questions than I've ever had. But one thing I know, He opened up my blinded eyes.
That's right.
I know He shined the light into my life. I know September the 14th, 1996. Candy, I was finally absolutely convinced. Not just convicted, but convinced.
Amen.
That God was right. I was wrong. I was a sinner, but He sent His Son to be my Savior. That morning when I rolled out of the bed, repenting of my sin, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm here to tell you He absolutely saved my soul, saved my life, saved me in time, and saved me for eternity. That's how everybody gets saved. Have you ever been convinced? It's a good day when you got convinced, wasn't it? See, living lies and in confusion is hard. Are you convinced? Jesus said, you say, I need a good lovey-dovey message. Well, I done told you the Lord loved the world, gave His Son, gave the Holy Ghost. He loved you enough to sit you down in a message like this today. And it may not feel like love right now, but if you'd get saved, you'd leave out of here saying, thank God somebody loved me enough, that God loved me enough to put somebody else in my life who had loved me enough to allow the Spirit of God who loves me to do His work in my life. Let me just preach my heart today. I ain't got one note. That don't make me spiritual. That don't make it a better or a worse message. I'm just telling you. I'm preaching today from my heart to a generation, to a crowd that I understand most everybody in here, if not everybody, would claim to be saved when you walked in. But looking around, there's some of you here today. If you don't get saved, if you don't get convinced soon, you're running out of time. Have you been convinced? Are you convinced? Have you ever allowed the Spirit of the Lord to do His work? We're standing all over the sanctuary. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm just going to let you stand in silence. Maybe this morning you have been convinced. You just need to come get on the altar. The Lord, while the message was being preached, the Lord walked you down memory's lane to the work of the Spirit of God in your life. You've been reminded again, all of us that are saved, truly born again, we've been reminded today, it ain't of us. It wasn't of us. It's not of us that we're here today and saved. Truth be told, every one of us that's saved have to lift our hands and hearts and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for turning the light on. Thank you for coming to where I was. Thank you for the opportunity. Thank you, Lord, for the gifts of faith and repentance, and an opportunity and a day, a service, Lord, to come to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning maybe it's one, maybe it's more than one, but you're here today and you're not saved. Today, while the Word of God has been preached to you, Spirit of God has convinced you of what your need is. Anybody here this morning, no one's looking around. Anybody here today say, Pastor, please pray for me. I don't know that I'm saved. What you preach today about being saved and born again. Maybe you've never even heard this. Maybe you've been given all sorts of confusion. If so, I'm sorry. But today you'd say, Preacher, for the first time in my life, I really feel like I have heard the truth and I'm not saved and I need to be saved. Preacher, please pray for me. Is there anybody here this morning? You're that one and you've been dealt with enough that you would admit it. Preacher, I'm that one. I'm one here today among this crowd. I walked in confused. Thank you, young man. Is that another? Preacher, I walked in maybe a little confused. I see that hand, young lady. God bless you. Somebody else? Preacher, today I feel like I've heard the truth. Preacher, if it's the truth, what you preached is the truth. Pastor Jeff, I'm not saved. Please pray for me. My prayer won't save you. I'd be glad to pray for you. Anybody else besides these two youngins? That precious youngins being concerned about eternity. Anybody else? Come today. You can come today. Alrighty. I'm not going to tarry. I'm not going to drag nothing out. The messages have been given. And I trust it don't lead you to more confusion. I believe it's the truth. So why you believe that? Because it's what Jesus said. It's what Jesus said. And Jesus don't lie. Amen. He don't lie. And you're going to have to take everything Jesus said, not just the part you like. That's this world's problem, Brother Carl. They just take what they like. What they don't like, they act like it don't matter. But this is what Jesus said. Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to get you out of here. And, that went longer than I anticipated. All right? But we've preached it. Give you our heart and encourage you. Share the message with somebody and all the different ways that we have to get things out. We just need to be more active about that. So share it. Let the world know. Let the world know. They got to be convinced, okay?